Beginning with her 1988 novel Cape Ann, Faith Sullivan has told stories of the people living in the fictional small town of Harvester, Minnesota. In her newest novel, Good Night, Mr. Woodhouse, Sullivan tells the life story of a school teacher named Nell Stillman, who was a minor character in Cape Ann. The book opens in 1900 with the death of her husband, leaves her alone and penniless with a baby boy, Hilly, but she's rescued by a sympathetic couple who offer her a job as a third grade teacher. Through the book, she falls into an uneasy love affair, and her son goes off to war and comes back traumatically shell-shocked. But through it all, she's comforted by her strong friendships and the novels of English author P.G. Woodhouse, creator of Jeeves and Wooster. Faith, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Well, thank you for asking me.
Now, Nell Stillman is a woman who seems to calmly deal with life's fortunes and misfortunes, and she accepts the people in her community, no matter their background or their faults. Do you see her as an extraordinary woman?
Well, I see her as an extraordinary woman, but she would not speak of herself in that light at all. She would consider herself the most ordinary woman in that community.
Why did you, after using her as a minor character in earlier books, why did you want to make her the focus of this book?
Well, I have a love affair with P.G. Woodhouse that began years ago when I was in a book group and was asked by somebody else in the group, you know, what author or what books have seen you through the worst times in life? And I was stumped. I mean, one woman said, well, she could not have endured her teenage daughter's in years as a teenager if she hadn't had Jane Austen on the bedside table. And somebody else mentioned Dickens. And I thought, well, I remember after breaking an engagement that Crime and Punishment had seen me through, because you're always looking for something that's more miserable than you are, you know, to get you out of that. But that wasn't anybody I could live with for a lifetime in terms of escape. And then shortly after that, I picked up a Jeeves and Wooster, and here's the man who can see me through, you know, menopause, through deaths, and whatever else comes along.
And that's what happens with Nell Stillman. Of course, for her, these books are new. She's getting them as they come out.
Yes, yes, and that's an excitement all in its own, looking forward to the next book by someone who is such a savior to you.
Now, this book goes through some 60-plus years of her life. Got two world wars, the Depression. Was it difficult for you to have this big time span?
Well, I was a history major in college, and I have always been thankful for that, because in writing the books, whether it was a World War II book or this book, which sees us through 63 years, I think, I had the books behind me on my shelves, and I'm not an internet person. I don't go and do my research on internet. As a history student with all my history books that I've collected over the years, I can just turn around and pick something off the shelf that I need.
This town, Harvester, Minnesota, you grew up, I believe, in Lakeville in mm-hmm. Pipestone.
Right.
Is this somewhat based on those towns?
You know, when I started writing the first of the Harvester books, I came back to Minnesota, rented a car, and just traveled all over the state and taking pictures at different small towns and looking for Harvester. And when I got back to California, I went through those pictures, and Lakeville jumped out at me in terms of dealing with the things that happen in these books. But also, I'm very familiar with lots of small towns in southern Minnesota. I had cousins everywhere. And so it's a conglomeration of, yeah.
So do you have this whole town mapped in your head?
Oh,
and
yes.
You,
yeah. Oh, yeah. I know exactly where the library and the school and the park and the cemetery and...
and you've populated it with these people who... some of our minor characters in early books, and they come back, like Nell Stillman, and she's a major character.
It's such a luxury, I can't tell you. You feel like you're playing God. You know, you created this world, and you can just walk through it as you were godlike and chronicle these wonderful people.
I think it's interesting. There are a number of Minnesota authors that have these towns. I think of Sinclair Lewis, Gopher Prairie, John Hassler at Staggerford, and of course, Garrison Keillor has Lake Wobegon.
Right.
Is there anything these towns have in common other than that they're small towns in Minnesota?
Well, you know, I think, and anybody who grew up in a city would argue this point, but my particular take on it is that when you live in a small town, you have knowledge of quite a few people that you can't get easily growing up in the city. There's so many people that you know. I mean, you know their history. You know who their grandfather was, and you know who was the horse thief in the family back 100 years ago, and whatever. So that's a big plus for a writer, I think, to know so many people quite intimately. Yeah.
And Nell Stillman knows the people in her town. She's got her close friends. She's got people that she doesn't get along with so well.
Absolutely, and those people are in every small town. Yeah. In every small town, there's some awful person who is sending notes, hate notes, unsigned to somebody.
Which she's getting throughout the book.
Right, yeah. And I loved the way she, I mean, I speak of her, so I had no control over her, but I loved the way she handled it in the end, because finally, when her son commits suicide, she gets a note that just says, sorry. And she said, well, that's life. There are mysteries that can never be solved. She will never know who that person was.
Now, her son, you mentioned, Hilly, we watch him grow up, and then he goes to war, and he comes back in a damaged condition, comes back from the war. This book seems to have started kind of light and sunny, and then gets kind of darker. Just makes for an interesting story, or is that kind of the way life goes?
Well, that's the way life goes, number one. But, you know, when you think back to the beginning of the book, she loses her husband, even though he's kind of a beast. She loses him at age 30. When she's 22 and he's 35, and the next day she's thinking about it, and she says, okay, Bert, now what? I've got 65 cents in a jar in the kitchen, and I've got a baby, you know, 18 months old. So it really does start out dark. It becomes sunny, I think, when she gets to know the Lundin family and so forth. But life is like that, yeah. I mean, one day it's just all groovy, and the next day it's hell.
And you mentioned the Lundins. They're the ones that befriend her after her first husband died.
Yes.
Husband died.
Yeah.
And the way that they come in and kind of, I think was Mr. Lundin was on the head of the school board, which is how she got the teaching job. What did she learn from them? Because it seems like as this book goes on, Nell Stillman becomes accepting of other people. Is this something that she learns from them?
Well, I think they were just a marvelous example of people who, at a time and in a place where you didn't necessarily expect broad-mindedness or lack of judgmental character, they were somebody she could look to and see, yeah, that's what works. It's not the other side, the dark side people. It's the people who aren't judging, but are just doing good.
And there's this love story that happens in the book with a gentleman named John Flynn.
Yes.
And this is sort of an uneasy. He's a politician, and she and they meet they're playing bridge at the Lundins. Correct?
Yeah. Well, he was the lawyer that got her out of trouble with the school board initially, and then afterwards they meet through the Lundins, and he's just kind of my real hero figure in my own mind. I think as a writer of fiction, you tend to either fall in love with a character or very much fall out of love with the character. And I definitely fell in love with him.
And what was it that you loved about him? Just that he was strong and he loved Nell?
He was strong and, again, not a judgmental man, and helping wherever he could help. He befriended her son as he's growing up and made a big difference in that child's life, and you know, what's not to like?
And it wasn't an easy love affair.
He was gone so much, and she would not marry again because of her first husband. She did not want to do that thing again, and he finally said, I have to have a wife who will be there for me, and if it's not you, I'm too bad. I don't want to get and give too much of the plot away.
Now, as you mentioned, Nell Stillman came out of an earlier book of minor character. There's minor characters in this book. Will we see them?
Yes, actually, as I was writing this, Nell is thinking one day about how complicated P.G. Wodehouse plots were. And then she said, but you know, on the other hand, that happens in life too. And she mentions this young woman who becomes the hired girl on a farm falls in love with the farmer across the road who is already married, and his wife discovers he's having an affair, but he doesn't know with whom, and tries to hang herself in the barn. And their hired man cuts her down, she falls and breaks her leg, and the guy across the street, the boss of the young woman, says, "Oh, no problem, I'll send Ruby across to help you out." And then the two women become close friends. Yeah. So that's my next. Yeah.
So more characters from Harvester to look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Faith Sullivan, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Decoded Midday. Good night, Mr. Woodhouse. Just a lovely book. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.